is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I'm from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I'm from Dayton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio, and welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that we mass every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m., except holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-GR96. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, and I'm the host of the show that is called Inside the Inner City, and we cover a lot of topics. We talk real life, we talk the stories, we talk about things that are affecting us in the country, and most importantly, we talk about the solutions. And I love the callers that call in. Some are a little presumptuous. They slick with their words. You know, some of them, you know, they have their motives. So you have to be very, very careful. They try to pull you into their trap, you know. So you got to be very careful with some of the callers, you know. But other than that, you know, it's been very nice listening to the callers who do a very, very great job of giving a contribution to the country. And also to those who are listening, especially people who has the power to make changes. It might be a little educational for them, and they may pick up a one or two pointers from the conversation like they normally do. So today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the immigration crisis, the response from the government, the opposition, and then we're going to talk about crime in the country, some comments made by Minister of Education, Ms. Glenys Hannah-Martin, and then comments made by the Prime Minister concerning the recent shooting that's occurred in our country. You know, we all up in arms about the recent shooting. You know, I my condolences goes out to the family, the family members, to the community. I understand everything they're going through, but we have so many Bahamians going through the same trauma, you know, losing a loved one in this country. It's all over the country, you know. It's just today is me and tomorrow is you. And that seems to be the remedy that our country is facing. And, you know, I've done everything in my power. You know, I come from a background of being involved in violent crimes in the country. I've been involved in some, I've had the opportunity to be involved in some of the criminal minds in that atmosphere. So I have learned a lot over the years. Then, you know, I retire. And when you retire, you know, I do community work. So I still was interacting with the next generation, you know. Next hot boys come up, you know, because I had a relationship with them. You know, I was talking to them positive and try to keep the area as lively as possible to keep them more, keep the area, like, active. Because this is the best way to communicate with guys who are in a violent atmosphere. And I know that. You know, having events inside the community, they ask, sometimes they participate, but they really be excited about the events in the community, and you get to communicate with them more, and then you start to talk more, and then you'd understand exactly what their problems are and how to approach them to talk to them about certain things that are happening in the country or what they're involved with. So being retired and still being active in the community has kept me in close contact with this generation. You know, because my generation were a little different, but similar. But it's good to still be in contact because you know exactly what's going on in the minds of the 13, the 14, the 15, the 16, the 17, up to 20, 25, 26, even up to 30. You know, because, you know, they're younger people in the community that comes around. Every say, 10 years, there's a next generation in the community. You know, and so it's a mix of different ages, different tempers. So of being able to keep in contact with a lot of at-risk young boys and females, and it comes down to one particular thing in common: opportunities, and they want attention. They have nothing to do with their lives. They have no future. They don't know what they want to do with their lives. They want to do something, but they don't know what to do because in the country, they're not seeing it, you know, and it's the reality that we have to face. And unless we're going to do major investment in the country itself by providing small business, by providing trades that are going to be beneficial to the future success of the residents of the community. So we're slowly making progress, but too slow. We could do 10 times better and speed it up a bit. You know, we got one... Brookfield secures $1.9 billion refinancing for Atlantis. So that means they looking to renovate Atlantis to bring it up to standard to be one of the best destinations in this part of the hemisphere. Do you think we could ever get that kind of money to invest it into crime, which would also deals with healthcare and education, and be committed to improving the conditions and mindset of our next generation of future leaders? So, yeah. So, before we go into the crime aspect, I just want to talk about the immigration aspect first. Many people in the country, especially Bahamians, you know, we are very, very frustrated with the overwhelming amount of illegal immigrants entering our country. And most importantly, you know, there are rumors going around that illegal immigrants who are not non-Bahamian, who have not gone through the proper procedure, because when I listen to Article 7, you know, in the Constitution, it states that persons, in the country can apply for citizenship at the age of 18. So that's in the Constitution, I mean Article 7. And that's why we have to do proper checks and balances, you know, to make sure that we don't have these type of problems, which is impossible. It's impossible to eradicate it, because some people are going to slip through no matter what, through the checks and balances. It's just the way it is, but we can minimize it much as possible. People getting documents, maybe instead of giving them citizenship, maybe we could get them permanent residency based on their behavior and their contribution to the country. You know, there are different alternatives. Instead of just giving them citizenship, they could get work permit that allows them to continue working in the country as long as they contribute. Stipulation comes with it. We could do that as well. But for those that are coming in on sloops and entering the country illegally, you know, we can continue that pace. Because the reason why the Contractors Association is saying that, you know, they don't have enough skilled workers to fill the position of the construction industry that is booming right now in the country. And for that reason, they have to get, not saying the Contractors Association, but other people have to get foreign nationals to come and fill those positions. And the reason why we don't have the qualified The reason why we don't have the qualified specialists in these fields is because we have failed to really educate the communities that people live in. What I mean is this: we don't have the proper training facilities to train the individual, right, in that community. Know that he's a plumber, know that he's an electrician. And we do it area by area, finding who's good at what, you know, here, there. Like, for instance, Painton, for instance, Camp Road, for instance, other places in the community. So who are skilled, they have the BTVI in the community. So that when these opportunities come up, when the Bahamas Contractor Association asks for persons with skills or trades, they will be easy to reach because they went through a program, they're in the community, they're licensed, and they're professionals, and they could call them. But their interest is not to empower the inner city people. They are doing it slowly but surely. But what we're supposed to do from the beginning is to have BTVI in the inner city community that teaches how to repair a fridge, do barbering, all of these things, all of these different trades, so that when the opportunity presents itself for Bahamian contractors to get contracts from the construction industry, it's just a phone call away because they have been through a program in their respective community. They get their license and they are in the community. And the contract association would be able to get their numbers and their qualifications and their information because they are registered in that particular area. Well, we have 20 plumbers that went through a program that live in the Camp Road area. We have 20 guys, drywall guys, or 30 drywall guys, or we are pinging us in this particular community, who we have their phone numbers and where they live. So this kind of initiative can make the change. But I want to play this clip. We could play the first clip about immigration and what the response is going to be. But we have to slow down the legal immigrants coming in the country because it takes away majority of jobs that will be available for the students coming out of school. You know, we have close to 5,000 coming to school every year. And then those who are not in school, who are not employed, would never have an opportunity because all the jobs that would be available for those individuals living in the country, their lives would be jeopardized because they're illegal immigrants coming in, they're desperate. They'd work for a low minimum wage. And what the behavior were turning on, they were not turning on. And because of that, they would fill his position. And then the behaviors would be left stagnated in their country because they just wouldn't work for the $260 or $250 a week. So I just want to play this voice clip. Call it coming to you right now. Just let me play this clip voice. And this is a response from the leader of the opposition, I think, Michael Pintat. His response and what his government would do if they got elected to be the next government of the Bahamas.
If the Free National Movement wins the 2026 general election, it is prepared to hold a referendum on citizenship, according to party leader Michael Pintard. He made the statement during a recent appearance on Guardian Radio's Morning Blend with host Dwight Strawn, where he was asked about Article 7 of the Bahamas Constitution. Article 7 relates to children born in the Bahamas to non-Bahamian parents, granting them the right to apply for citizenship at age 18.
Bahamian governments appear to be afraid of referendum.
Would you be afraid?
I would not be afraid to hold a referendum. But I'm saying something. I'm saying something differently. I'm saying that we need to send the message to the international community that persons who are coming to the Bahamas, there is no pathway for you for citizenship. The policies that I would implement, whatever is required, if the referendum is the only pathway to address that particular issue, the policies I would put in place would hinder that ship ever making it to shore.
When pressed on whether an FNM-led government would commit to holding a referendum on this sensitive and long-standing issue, Pintard reaffirmed his position, stating he's prepared to move forward with one.
If it is unclear that we are prepared to stand firm to prevent that from happening, I believe the floodgates remain open. But there are some things we should
do. So you would have a referendum?
I would be, if that is the only part where, yes, I would be prepared to hold a referendum on
that. We're going
to
hold you to that.
On that. Yeah, you can hold me to it.
He insisted the party's stance on immigration and citizenship have been clear.
If you've come, you come to the Bahamas illegally, there's no path for you to citizenship. That's that. If you do not send that message, people who are contemplating, who are thinking about coming to
the Bahamas. What does that mean to you? I mean, does that mean that we should have a referendum, that we need to change it? What does that mean?
Again,
because you do have a path now that, that Article 7 enshrines it in the Constitution. Should that be changed?
Once we have taken the required advice on how that law will be, we will evaluate the law and how it needs to be tweaked, we're prepared to do so.
Pintard also reiterated the party's call for the creation of a select committee. He promised that an FNM government would establish such a committee within the first 30 days of taking office.
That also has in it provisions for protection for people who are in immigration and know some of the things that are going on and are prepared to talk. There's a level of corruption in this in the system that we are not prepared to address, and we should address it soberly and humanely.
During a news conference back in June, Pintard revealed plans for a new initiative called Operation Shield. The program, he said, would target shanty towns, increase immigration surveillance, investigate political abuse in the immigration process, and tighten immigration approvals. He also committed to a thorough review of how citizenship, permanent residency, and work permits are being issued across the country. Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonik Tu.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. It goes to show that what we've been speculating all along, when me and you was being him and the citizens of saying something's going on wrong at the immigration department. We've been playing the authorities for the last 30-something years or 20-something years, telling them what the problem is, and we feel that some type of corruption is going on. Now, when listening to the leader of the opposition, who himself was a member of parliament, who himself was a government employee, means that he was government, you know, so he's telling the truth on what he is saying. He knew about it. When his government was in power, probably did little or nothing to solve the problem. But now, like again, is in the opposition, looking for an opportunity again, maybe learning from their mistakes and probably see that we, as the Bahamian citizens, see where the corruption is coming and what is affecting us in the country on a daily basis, you know, when it comes to illegal immigrants coming in the country and then getting citizenship, or they're staying here illegally, having children, and the children stay here until they're 18, they're entitled to, according to Article 7, you know, if they're not caught in a timely fashion from our immigration or our police or our court system, and they remain here undetected for a certain amount of time, they has the right. You know, remember I told you that there are certain stipulations that we sign on to, especially when it comes to healthcare and et cetera, and et cetera. So this is one of the articles, like what we're talking about, that are on the books that many of us do not understand. But it's good that when we have this conversation, we start to see about Article 7 that really shows you how we need to look at some things. It's not saying we're pushing people away. You know, we're stopping illegal migration flow because it's hurting us every day, because it's taking away jobs that are supposed to be for Bahamian people, Haitian Bahamian who are here now, who are going through the educational system, who got an opportunity from the Bahamas, and now they are part of the Bahamas, okay? They are also going to be affected from the illegal immigrants coming in, because they're going to take away their jobs and their opportunities, and what we're going to have. People are continue to build up. Okay, and when it keeps on building up and the money leaves the country on a regular basis, what's going to be here for us as Bahamians and those who are living here now? There's not going to be nothing much, because the majority money goes to the country that is collected from the tourism industry that stretches from one end of Bay Street to the next, from the north straight to the south. And they take out millions of dollars every 3 or 4 months that leave the country. That is the highest gross estimate of cash flow that is collected from the tourists that visit our shores. That is collected because the U.S. don't like their money to be flowing through the whole entire country. So as much as possible, they collect it by having an agreement with central bank, and business people put the American money that was just printed or that with the tour, or what the tourist comes to the Bahamas with and they spend, they have a mechanism in place where they got all that up, the majority of it up, and then they put it in the bank and they ship it out. And then the little less of less than 1% comes over the hill. Okay? So, again, we have the really, really look on how it is affecting us, okay? And they in the industry as well. You know, so so much can take away from the country and we are not receiving that. And everything is coming in from the tourism industry. You know, we made over $3 billion of revenue, I think the Bahamas has. And out of that $3 billion that the government has collected, that's them doing business. We, the Bahamian people, don't even get like $1 billion of that cash flow in the inner city and in the country. You could imagine if we could get $1 billion of that to be invested inside the country itself. It changes everything. But with the illegal immigrants coming in and taking these jobs, and you know, they're doing good for their family. They're running from a country that is being denied access to education, to healthcare, to freedom. By France and by America. Now there's a big gang war going on because it becomes unstable in their country. Now they run from their country. And mind you, Haiti has helped Haitian leaders and the Haitian people have helped many different countries around the world to fight for their freedom. And they help a lot of people. But at the same time, we as Bahamians here are suffering as well. And we're getting overflow with people coming to have a better life because you know that their life is going to be 20 times better than what it is in Haiti because we have dollar for dollar here in the Bahamas with the U.S. And that is like 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 or 30 to 1 of Haitian money. So the little that they make over here and they ship back to their family to help them, which I respected highly because, you know, it helping people who are poor just to eat and live a little better. But at the same time, it's also taking away from our kids here growing up in the country, and they are not going to have a future because everything is going to be sucked out the country, and we're going to be here preying on one another, and we might end up just like a little Haiti where we have people just gangs just take over the streets because everyone right now is just fighting for their life, you know, with the back is against the wall, and that's what we're trying to prevent in our country. So I think that suggestion that Michael Pintard as the opposition and many other star coalition of independence, even the government side of it, you know, but the government really, really has to step up. You see they're pushing on some hoses and stuff. I don't really, you know, but it is what it is. So again, like I said, you don't have to give them citizenship. Those set that are stagnated in the country. We can give them permanent residency, give them work permit, but it comes with a stipulation. Okay, but for those who are coming in legally, we are going to protect our borders to not allow as many to come in our country. And those who get in our country, we can't catch them or whatever the situation is, they cannot be given citizenship in the country. You understand the bottom line? And if we have to deport those, we just have to do what we have to do. I mean, it hurts, but we just have to do what we have to do. We're going to take this call on Guardian Radio.
Scrooge, how you doing, man?
I'm fine. Good night to you.
I'm right. Hey, Scrooge. All right. I've been in this country for 60 plus years, right? And I am a, what you call it, a Texas Island Bahamian.
Yeah, you still with us last time.
Right. So both of my parents.
Yeah.
You see, and the problem is, and I don't believe, right, that I should have the same rights as those Bahamians who's like been in this Bahamas for like for 300 years, but at least 200 years.
Yeah, there are people who never caught. There are people.
No, I don't, but 200 years.
Yeah.
These people who came here, whose parents came here slaves.
And some still came as slaves. Some still were here who did
right,
not get
right.
catch. They did not get catch.
So I who came, who immigrated here, I didn't come here. My parents came here and they don't feel it. Even though Turks and Caicos is a little bit different because we was like, we was part of Bahamas because Bahamas administrated over us, over the Turks and Caicos.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the Jamaicans and the other British Islands, they different from the Texan Caicos,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but I still don't believe I should have the same rights as the Bahamians who've been there for 200 years and more.
Fair.
You see? So, and that's the problem. We have politicians like me, you know, and a lot of people in the media like me. So when it comes to the Article 7, see, I don't believe that we need to do away with the birthright citizenship.
Mm.
You see, even Finland had a problem with that because he was like me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what his mother. I don't know what his mother was,
mm-hmm.
but his father was Jamaican.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So that's the problem we have. And
mm-hmm.
and when you talk about living and working in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
I believe that see Bahamas ourselves as we are the, what you call it, the big house at this Caribbean, this plantation. You see, so we selfish. You understand me? I believe that. That anybody who's in need, who, you know what I mean, who have problems at home, you know, political problems or economic problems, they should have the right to come here and work. You understand me? And even get residence.
Yes.
With the right to vote.
And the right of citizenship should be denied.
Right. Become a member of parliament, they should not have that.
That's right.
You understand? That's my
yes.
belief.
Yes.
Now, see, when you...
That's some valid point.
Problem,
that's some good points. See, some good points you made just now.
A good problem, the thing with why are we so selfish is, right? See, Haiti got more natural resources than us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti got gold, they got copper, they got the stuff what they need for nuclear bomb.
And they also have the thing what they use for military grade to build
right.
planes and submarines.
And like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes,
you see,
yes.
When you talk about gang wars in Haiti, see, these people, the wars in Haiti is about. They fighting the same people who we need to fight.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand me? They fighting them rich oligarchs and
the French companies, and the American companies.
And all American, European, all of them.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Belgium.
See, what we have, all over the Caribbean, these places, many African nations, black nations,
yeah.
or small nations, we have these puppet leaders, bro.
Yeah.
They puppet leaders. They sell us out. You understand me? They sell all our markets. You understand me? They got us dependent on foreign investors.
Yes.
Why we all the only person we need to depend on is Almighty, bro.
Yeah.
You understand me? We need to unite with the Caribbean. We need to become one market. You know what I mean? Free travel and you understand me? No, customs duties and stuff between us and things.
Between us and Jamaica, you mean between us? You mean between us, Jamaica, and all those places, country, the Barbados?
Nation.
Yeah, we be one united. Our passport
one.
Should be able to just cast through, and our money
right.
should be able to spend
right.
in all the
travel,
yes,
you
yes.
know, without visa and all
yeah,
them
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah, that's what
you
supposed to. Yeah, yeah,
identification
yeah.
is passport. You
yeah.
have a passport. That's
yeah.
identification.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as traveling and things, visa for what?
Yeah.
You understand me? And see, being so selfish, they believe that they want that. They want. They want it. They want to be helter-skelter where they could get money, make money from it.
Mm.
That's the problem we have.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying? We need to. What we need to do for Haiti? We need to, like I say, for me, get together and unite, and then we go in the union, and we go in the UN,
and help them rebuild.
Nations, and then we just one.
Help them rebuild.
And then you know what I mean? We fight for Haitian rights for the Haitians.
Yeah.
The Haitians supposed to be a better country, a more prosperous country than us.
Yes. And in fact, if we go back like 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and you look at Haiti, Haiti was actually one of the richest Caribbean countries in the Western Hemisphere.
Man, our food used to come from there.
All our food used to come from. I tell you, when I was a little boy, and I used to be diving for quarters downtown. They had all kind of Haitian sloops out there selling all the fruits and vegetables, a variety
right.
of fruits and vegetables on right there downtown Bay Street.
Jamaica too.
Oh, we had a lot of different fruits vendors from around the Caribbean coming right there on the dock, right there between Portiskey Dock. But I mean, on Bay Street where we dive for quarters, we had a variety of different. Nationality right. coming there from different Caribbean countries
so,
and settling there.
So one more thing before I go.
Okay.
Let's address this construction thing and this skill worker thing.
Okay.
Schools, I've been in construction for 40 plus years. Mm-hmm. I started as an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then I went into general construction. I went into masonry, carpentry, all
mm-hmm.
at the same time. And you know, and when I work in an engineering in Nassau Beach, I learned electrical and I do plumbing too the same time.
Okay.
You understand me? So I know what it is. And I ain't been in no trade school for that.
Yeah.
I learned on the job. You see, when you go into construction, when you go in the construction field, a block layer, a brown in the world, even a tile layer, he need a helper, bro.
Yeah.
They ain't no skilled people. They learn.
You're lying on the job.
On the job.
You're lying on the job.
Right. So when they talk about we need training, we had technical training school a long time, mate. And then you go to technical school training, they got a high degree when they come out of there.
Yeah.
But everybody didn't go there.
No.
Everybody didn't have to go there.
No, would Ray
not? Understand me?
Yeah.
So what happened is the contractors, they want to pay this cheap labor.
Yep.
And they call the Bahamian youth lazy.
That's right, because you ain't awake for that.
Pay the Bahamian. Come on, man.
I know what it is. I know exactly what it is. Why would I want to work for $260 in my own country and my bill is $800 home? That don't make no sense.
I can't pay the rent.
That can't work. That can't compute.
And the bus system, you know, bus system.
Like I said, it's the value. See, I just want people to understand what I'm trying to say and what you're trying to say. It's the value of the Bahamian dollar versus the Haitian dollar.
Right, so and you can never compete with the
right.
Asian.
And the Bahamians who live in here.
Or the Mexican. No. You understand?
We're not going to work for it because our bills are too high. See, we live in the Bahamas, which is probably the 8th most expensive place to live in the world.
And if we got people who call this degree and they don't want to stay in the Bahamas.
No.
Call this degree, they ain't making enough.
We need 2,000 police officers now, and they ain't going to police force. They're calling back all the old teachers now because the teachers in this who have the education or who have the profession don't want to teach over here because it's too underpaid.
But yet they want to get you go work harder than them in the sunshine.
For
$250.
Yes. No, $400
can't do nothing for them. No. If you pay them $500 a week, that's hard to make it enough.
They're calling back right now former teachers who are retired to come back in the teaching sector because a lot of teachers who are qualified, Chris, they don't want to come. They don't want to teach here no more because it's too underpaid. So they go in off abroad. If you watch when they had Demetrius Thompson and Chris Brown here, you can see Demetrius Thompson was a instructor in the United States of America. Chris Brown, the same thing.
They don't pay them enough to stay home and work.
They don't pay them enough to stay
they
home
won't
and
pay
work.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Then,
so this is the problem.
And then they still want to privatize everything. They want to privatize Patelco, privatize BC, privatize the hospital. Come on now. So then what do the poor people going to do? They don't even want to do nothing. NHI insurance because they weren't with the private insurance. Who's going to afford private insurance?
I've been sorry to say this, right? I wonder why those officers was doing what they had to do, even though they're destroying the country, right? But I see why Cradle Step was doing what he's doing. I'm sorry to say it, you know. I'm sorry to say it, you know. I'm not encouraging the gardener or those guys, but I see why, because they're top, they need to make this, but they see the people up the top making millions and millions, and they run these guys, and they know that these deals going on with these politicians and these business voices, and they're there listening, and yeah, what's going on, they might be in one or two little swing, so they got to go get them. But even though they destroy the country.
The drug dealers, the boss them, they buying property. They can afford to buy property and big house and that amount of cars. They think when you be a young man, come with the same ghetto and go work and things. And you're paying them this little bit of money.
Yeah, it can't work, man.
Man, get real, man.
You can't mean it, man. You're just saying.
And you know what they do? Give the money to some NGOs and then got non-profit organizations.
Private consultants and stuff like that, you know.
Wait, excuse, let me show you. Never move together, you know.
No, boy, not me. But I love the neighbor. No, boy. That's the best place in the world, boy. Hey, listen,
you
I have neighbors.
For example, you know, you can tell the ghetto, he can't survive in the ghetto. He got to what? Hey, everybody ain't gay.
Listen, I know the inner city community is supposed to be the richest place in the Bahamas because we right there from Bay Street and we have a volume of guests who I call customers coming to our show. We ain't supposed to have no poverty in Bantan, Grandstand, Mason Edition, anyway, proximity to a Bay Creek. You understand? Because we only walk in distance. That's what I'm talking about, the trade skills right there, because they are customers. You understand? There are so many different aspects of business and small jobs that could be created in the tourism industry, in the junk canoe industry. We have a lot of junk canoes. We have a lot of tourists, different jobs, you know, you could be a nail technician, you could be a You could be a tour guide. You could be what you call them now. You could be doing souvenirs. You could be selling shirts. You could be selling Kong salad. You could be doing coconut water. You could be doing jet ski. You could be doing so many things. There's so many ways you could make money or the tourism industry when you're right at the Bay Street. So we don't have to be in the position we're in.
No.
We don't have to be in. I don't care what no one said. We don't have to be in the position we're in when we have, like, estimated to be 9 million visitors to make our show. It is estimated the government made $3 to $4 billion in revenue, right? So how is it possible that we cannot decrease unemployment and reduce poverty based on how many tourist arrival comes to our country every year?
Come on,
thank you, my brother. And you made some valid points tonight. Thank you, my brother. Yes, Chris. There's no way possible we should be in this position that we're in. We can play this next clip. Like I say, you know, I have nothing against Asian National, but I say citizenship shouldn't be granted. We could give out work permits, we could give out residency, and et cetera. But that citizenship has to stop. But for those who have been here for 20, 30 years, we're going to have to find a way and how we're going to get them neutralized in the country. But for anyone else coming in and they don't go through the proper procedures or channel, it should not be granted. We have to slow it down while it's been up for opportunity. And we need to take a look at Article 7. Okay, a lot of Americans need to look at Article 7 because it states to you if they were born, the parents who are not Americans, you know, they could apply when they're 18. Okay, so it's in the book. So that means we have to protect our borders. We have to make sure we have the proper policing system in place and immigration system in place. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
What's going on, Big Brother? Yeah. Always a pleasure to hear you in the evening on Friday. Mandel, yeah.
Hey, what do you say, Mandel?
Everything is all right.
Respect, you've been missing an auction, man. Being a child, and you didn't even bring your boy a shirt. No, nothing, man.
I got to come see you. You know, it can't go around, screw it. It can't go around you. But I've been tuned in, and then I've wanted to come and talk about some of my experience because it was my trip to China was about studying the alleviation of poverty that they have been able to accomplish in China in a great deal.
Okay.
So I'd love to have that conversation about you, but I wanted to say to you, you are right on par with what needs to happen in terms of the proximity of the community of being in Grantstown to one of the world's grandest tourism products and it not benefiting the community. You are right on par. We were the first, some of the first owners in terms of owning our tourism product with our story drivers.
Yes.
The horse and carriage, we were some of the first owners, and that should have matriculated throughout the different services that are offered in tourism for us as a people. However, that didn't happen, and I believe that for things like that to happen now will require intentional leadership that is about ensuring that we are about eradicating poverty out of these kinds of communities. I'll throw one out there for you, Scrooge. Just off the top of my head, I've been having this one. Based on the proximity of Baines and Grantstown, we have taxi drivers that all over the place. We have challenges in our country of people come into the country and can't swim and what's not. While we can't have a good group of people, young fellas in Baines and Grantstown, young people, whether it be male or female,
lifeguards.
That are lifeguards.
Lifeguards.
And by the time the cruise ship reaches in the morning, the same cell phone device that they're always on, they already got their jobs booked, just like the taxi drivers got their jobs booked. Or they have their spot where they could go out by the beach and solicit jobs to be with family.
Yes.
Imagine a husband and a wife that has two children and now takes on the service of a lifeguard that can watch their children while they're on the beach and so forth. It adds a different layer of protection, security.
And development.
It enhances us in terms of job stability for some of these young people and becoming business owners.
Yes.
It just does so much. But again, like I say, where there is no intentional leadership, these kinds of opportunities are overlooked.
Yeah.
And we just have people doing business as usual to say they're doing something.
Yes,
and so, yes, I agree. Even there's an indictment, I think, on leadership in our country right now as we talk about how the construction industry is booming, but there are not enough
qualified.
Employable.
No, yeah.
There you go. The same word, right? The qualified fellas to work. Now, mind you, we got an unemployment problem. But we got a qualified employee problem. That says something about the leadership
there
in our
you
country.
Go. Yes.
And if you look at the state of crime in our country and violence, serious violence right now, you would remember when Royal Towers was building and that construction was going on 24/7. Scrooge, the fellas, them even ain't had time to go on the road to do foolishness, where they was working round the clock. I'm just trying to make that overtime.
All of us over there just making the cake. We scan with like over $1,000. Some guys can with $1,500.
So we have this boom, but again, because we've not been able to teach the generation and properly deploy them, we're reaping the benefit of it.
Yes, sir.
We're reaping the consequences. I wouldn't say benefit, but reaping the consequences of not properly preparing the generations along the way. And it's happening all throughout our grassroots communities and all throughout our country, all throughout the country.
Yeah.
But we just need intentional leadership, particularly in our grassroots communities that are going to be solution-oriented. And I believe where a lot of our grassroots communities are located is an opportunity in the environment, because that's where our founding fathers came from. They used the environment to make it and build the foundation that they laid for us.
I know.
So why didn't we continue with some of the same things?
John Canoe and the tourism ministry is a gold mine. You know, John Canoe and tourism, that's it.
Man, screw
that's
that.
It.
I believe the average tourist should be able to walk over the hill. Break down that proverbial hill. Let's break that down with intentional leadership. And the average tourist should be able to walk over the hill and find out from Grammy why his potato bread so good.
Yes.
And see Grammy get a couple of top plant in the yard, and see Grammy say, no, this is how you cut the top. This is how we used to cut top in the field, and this is how you make this. And like, there's so much I believe that we can do. But again, like I say, I believe that it requires intentional leadership. Something I heard the leader of the opposition say just Monday, I think, in Fox Hill. He said that there are 11 million tourists that come into the country or into New Providence.
He wanted it too.
Exactly. And these tourists should be able to
matriculate
into the... Exactly. You understand? They should be able to understand the journey of how we were enslaved and got free, and how the message got from Gambit to Fox Hill. You talk about China just now. Bro, in China, they are replicating every detail of their history in some form of service, whether that's a tour, a museum, a this or that. We got nowhere almost we can go to even recount our history in terms of visually seeing it. So that in itself is helping us lose our identity as a people.
Yeah.
In places like Bain and Grandstown, there's the opportunity for us to recreate a historical display of our history and offer that to the world as a service. There's an opportunity to do it, and we just got to be intentional, Scrooge.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Thank you, brother. You was a community leader, and you have a lot of great ideas. And I hope very soon that we get together and we do a program like we always do. Some substantial, leading towards creating a better Bain and Grandstown.
Amen. I believe prosperity is there for all our inner city communities.
Yeah.
It's just we need to be intentional about
it.
Our inner city communities is where practically all of us have come
from
form or fashion.
Yeah, man.
Somebody got an aunt, cousin, grand auntie, or somebody who live in these communities.
Mm.
We traverse through them to get to the main roads and what's not. And so we have to do something about restoring the dignity of our communities that we came from.
Yeah,
it says something about who we are. We're not too successful as a people if our foundation starts to crumble beneath us.
Yeah, man.
I go on that one, but continue to do the great work that you do, representing our inner city communities and speaking on their behalf. God, continue to bless you, man. Whenever you're ready, Scrooge.
All right, my brother. Sound good, man. You give us some good suggestions on radio tonight. You know, I want to thank Emmanuel always contributing. You know, you used to hear him on the radio with Shanique Miller a few years ago. You know, so that's the same guy again. Okay, we're going to take this next. We're going to play this clip, and then we're going to take the call. One minute, please.
Amid growing public discussion over the issuance of work permits, the Bahamian Contractors Association is raising concern over the thousands of work permit applications for general laborers who officials say generally have no skills. BCA President Leonard Sands, who was a guest on Guardian Radio talk show Morning Blend with host Dwight Strawn, says those positions could easily be filled by unemployed Bahamians.
My challenge that we have in the Contractors Association is oftentimes when we dig into the numbers of immigration, we don't see on the books the application for specialized skills. We see 4,000, 5,000 general laborers. General laborer is someone who has absolutely no skill, and I can tell them, oh, go pick up that piece of wood, go bring me that hammer, go dig a ditch, you know, move this. We should have, our view in the BCA is that those jobs really, really, really can be taken up by all the persons who come out of high school, can't find anything else to do, the unemployed persons who decide to transition and find another career, and they could take up those jobs. We shouldn't see the amount of unskilled work permits in the thousands.
However, he also acknowledged the lack of skilled Bahamian workers available to meet the rate of construction in the country, which is said to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. He called it a real challenge.
In the southern Bahamas, there's hundreds of millions of dollars worth of infrastructure work going on the Keys. And say, okay, so what does that mean? Who do you need? You need people who are trained in underground cabling and piping. Unless their project may need 100 electricians who are certified as, you know, entry-level electricians, but understand the capacity of doing electrical work at that level. And you may find some of them being trained at PTVI, and they're doing as good a job as they can. But in most cases, the volume of workers that a project needs when you combine all the works going on is sometimes outside of the capacity that we can supply.
Sands noted the government's launch of the National Apprenticeship Program to help address the skills gap, where the BCA partnered with officials to identify employers to train participants. However, Sands and BCA member Debbie Deal say the program doesn't go far enough. They suggested targeting school students who may be interested in a trade.
We need to create pathways for young people who could go directly into the trade so we could stem this consistent flow of always needing foreign skilled labor.
It's mostly our young boys and our young men that are in the situation. If we, through the Bahamian Contractors Association and the Ministry of Education and Ministry of Works, if we can create a course where kids could actually say, all right, this sounds like I could have fun with this. This is not sitting there reading a book and not understanding what's going on. Yeah. This is actually working with my hands.
Right.
You just don't know. And that's what we need to do. That's how we could get these persons that are just, they're just falling off.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonique Tude.
You know, that lady, she has the solution. You know, if you listen to the clip, the solution is there. You had a contract association talking about the high school kid could fill those positions, but the foreign nationals, illegal immigrants, are coming in the country, okay? And they're filling these positions. Then those kids who are coming to high school, they want an opportunity to learn these skills, you know? They like the caller stated, they were learning, you know, you could go there as a helper. But when you go there as a helper, you start to help the guy who lay in the blocks, and then you become a skilled block layer, you know? Then you could go from there to a drywall or to a carpenter because you would start to climb the ladder, and you would, at the end of the day, then you go to school, eh? Probably the Contractors Association could put you through school, or you go through to school off your own, the money you're earning, and then you go and get your certificate, get qualified, and then as you keep on working these jobs, you eventually get an opportunity to probably go on one of those keys, you know, that Mr. Sands is talking about in the millions, and then you could occupy one of those positions, become a certified electrician, and you'd be making hundreds of thousands of dollars off the skill you learn when you just start off as a helper. But if we have illegal immigrants come and fill in these positions, then there would be no opportunity for you to even learn and get these skills for you to become skilled on the job. We're going to take this next call. Right, caller.
Hey, Scroogey.
Hey, good night to you, sir.
My brother, always a pleasure to call into your show.
Yes, sir.
There are several things here that we as Bahamians have observed for quite some time now. And, you know, it's more like, you know, people really thinking that we are creating a wheel when the wheel was already created. You know, we talked about, if you look at many countries that are successful in their people building their country, not just from a physical standpoint, but also from a mental standpoint, then you'll begin to understand why is it that we don't adopt some of the concepts. You know, if you want a skilled person, it does not necessarily mean that that skilled person would have had to be educated by tertiary means, but by hands-on. That's why you have hands-on people, and you have people who have went on to get the what you call the theoretical skills.
Yes.
You know, we would start programs from even as far as grade six, I think, and actually begin to bring in trades, the different trades. So you can see some of the primary schools, they do little days with students to pretend and be doctors, nurses, firemen, police officers, so on and so forth. I believe that if we will get to the grade seven, for instance, and actually make it compulsory, you know, that a trade is taught. I know when I was in C.I. Gibson, woodwork was one of those for the boys that was almost compulsory. You know, you basically get the persons that may fall through the cracks as it pertains to tertiary education, where they don't know math and English. They're not strong or really proficient in math or geometry or anything like that. But when you apply the practical and to the theoretical, then they have a better understanding and they get a better grasp of it.
Yes, you're correct.
But we are here, you know, with the same thing over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
We know what this country requires in order to be
successful.
Nation builders.
Yes.
We know that we got persons who need to be masons, carpenters, electricians, HVAC, so on and so forth. So begin that education with the young brains from a grade six level.
Yes, sir, you're correct.
It's as simple as that. You know, you look at China and you wonder why is China so advanced. You look at Romania, Russia, you try to figure out why these people are so advanced. You look at Switzerland, Sweden, you know, and places like that. You know why?
They train their kids.
These people begin to educate the children from they were small.
I've been watching
from
China.
Babies.
I seen watching. They teach them how to cook. They teach them how to clean.
Okay.
They teach them how to sew. All this stuff. They teach. Man,
okay.
I was watching. Yes, you're right, sir.
Okay. And this is what we must do in order to for our country to move forward. And here's the irony. You know, it's estimated that 400,000 of us are here, which I believe that number still is not correct.
No, that's not correct.
I think even more with all of the recent additions.
Yeah, way more.
Okay, but out of that estimated 400,000.
Yes, sir.
We already estimated that we already been overrun. We might only have like 170,000 or what we would call, and people hate when we use the word organic or indigenous.
Yeah.
But it goes. It's only a phrase or a word used to distinguish the children or the offsprings of Bahamians who are fourth, fifth, and sixth generations and who are born in these islands.
Yes, sir.
And that's why we use those words.
Yes.
But the bottom line here is, you know, there is no reason why no Bahamian, and I hate when people come up with this excuse, but Bahamians are lazy. The rate of pay in this country.
That's what makes us lazy.
Compared to what they are able to make elsewhere, if you're able to get out of here, you know, is exponential. You ask, why are we losing our nurses? Why people aren't interested in being doctors? Why people aren't interested in being
police
and other things? Because you go off and get the education, you come back here, and they will tell you either you're overqualified, you will not get half of the things that the expat people get in this country, in terms of salary, bonuses, per diems, kids in private school, so on and so forth. You won't get those things. But you let the same person who's overqualified, a Bahamian, go into another man's land, they can become presidents, vice presidents, and so on and so forth. But here in this country, it just does not happen. And finally, it says, the word says, you know, a prophet is not known in their own country. It's not respected in their own country.
Yes, sir.
But we have to change our paradigm in order for this thing to come forth. And
yes,
that's all it takes. But thanks for taking my call, buddy. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You gave us a mouthful. He answered the Contractors Association talking about lack of trained professionals. He answered it. You know, we get the high schools like back in the day, teach trades in school. That's like BTVI. You know, we bring it in school on a regular basis. It's a weekly program. Means it stays in the school year round, never leaves, and it teaches practical skills. You know, practical trades, painting, cooking, whatever the situation is, because kids will love it. You know, it would be even good if we could go out and sniping too. Let them come there on Saturday, you know. Come here on Saturday and you come learn how to do some, you know, never know. It could be any one of those programs. Come here Saturday, you know, you can learn to do some welding, you know. You know, it's just something, you know, there's so many different things that we could be creative and, you know, use the school for Saturday and be for BTVI training and get them and just get them a sniping. So the kids never know on Saturday, school is out. But come Saturday, we can use the school as a training center. We have different training centers to school. You come, we give you $100 or $150. You get the gift certificate, you know, every month until you graduate. So, you know, you keep on getting qualified. So you'll be there from 7, and you go to 9th grade, and then probably 10, 11, 12. But time is then, we'd also work for you to make sure that you get a nice contract from government, because we're going to make an extra with government. Instead of us giving these contracts to guys on the streets who have contracts over and over, let's make some new thousandaires and millionaires. So now we have some qualified guys who went through high school, who were properly trained, being on side jobs, because, you know, the school can out, and the school principal could probably talk to one or two people who has little jobs, and they could go out and practice their skills as an electrician or a plumber and say, hey, I get my little students, you know, they're doing a great job. They're trying to be professionals. I'd like for you to allow them to come and do some work on your house. We're going to have a professional there, but we want them to do it hands-on so that they get the experience that they need. And you keep on doing like that in all the schools, and I think we're going to see a change. We're going to take this call before you play the next clip. Go ahead, caller. Bless up, Elroy Rice.
All right. Hey, Scrooge.
Hey, good night.
Good night. Don't victimize me. You have my forever, but it's a great show. But look here, there's nothing wrong with Article 7 in our Constitution, eh, Scrooge?
Okay, go ahead.
There's nothing wrong. That provision that was placed in there for persons who we would have invited into the country.
Yes.
On work permit, meaning like the expatriates, mm-hmm, or the teacher.
Like the British and all those people.
The policemen. You know, back in the day, that provision was put in place for them, for persons who fled Customs and Immigration.
Yeah, I remember that. Before you said the policemen.
That have nothing to do with persons who would have come here illegally.
Okay.
The problem that we have faced, and I've did many years of research on this, even though I hear a French party claiming my work as theirs, but it's the Nationality Act that is creating all the problem in the Bahamas.
Mm.
The affairs of the Nationality Act should have been brought to a referendum.
Wow.
But successive governments chose not to do it. You know, for example, you remember Jane Rooney?
Yep.
The Article 7 was tested right there in that particular case at the Privy Council level.
Wow.
And this is what the Privy Council stated. The Privy Council stated that it is clear that the appellant, the now late Jane Rooney, did not meet the standards laid forth in our Constitution, meaning he didn't apply for citizenship between the ages of 18 and his 19th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the Nationality Act states that the minister can grant citizenship to anyone who is of full age.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Mm.
Full age. What is full age, Scrooge?
What, 21?
Anywhere from 18 to 1,000.
Okay.
You know, but if Article 7 was speaking to those type of persons, then Jane Rooney would have been given citizenship.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
He was denied it.
Yeah, I'm seeing what you're saying.
And Fred Smith came back asking for a work permit for him.
Yeah, he lived right on the corner, you know, Joan Rooney. He lived right to H Street. His family.
Yeah, but I know. I know him, but he never got citizenship on that level.
No, no.
And then when he came back to the Bahamas, the Chief Justice, the present Chief Justice Ian Winder, stated that there's a lacuna. There's no law to accommodate him for citizenship.
Yeah.
So if there was a law, why didn't they use the Nationality Act?
That's true.
Couldn't use it.
That's true.
They couldn't use it because the Privy Council had already spoke on that.
Mm.
They have been regularized. And look here, all of those activities in that Nationality Act,
mm-hmm.
if we have a serious lawyer would a challenge it,
mm-hmm.
everything in it will become null and void.
Null and void.
There will be no good.
Right.
You know, because they did not, for example, if you want to grant citizenship to someone who is over 19, that should have been brought to a referendum for us to vote on.
Okay.
And you know what we were going to say, right?
No.
We would have said no, but the politician over the years
said yes.
They just decided to use it without bringing it to a referendum for us to approve it.
What are you saying about the Minister of National Security has the right to go any to give it to anyone?
The minister. So in essence, what we are saying now is that the minister is more powerful than our constitution.
Yeah.
He can grant more. He has more power to grant citizenship than our supreme law, our constitution. If that's the case, Scrooge, then let's take the constitution downtown and we can burn it.
Yeah.
Because the constitution cannot give credence to illegality. It cannot. But the Nationality Act can, that the politicians put together.
Mm.
But they know that they are in error. But they are not mature enough. Fred Mitchell still granting these citizenship, still not paying attention and doing what they feel like doing, which is treasonous.
Mm.
And this is why I believe that they don't really want to pursue hanging in the Bahamas, because a lot of their activities
revolves around
is borderline treasonous.
Mm.
But we could do better as a country. Yes. Now, I'll put it to you like this. You hear me? This I've been saying this now from 2016.
Mm.
I've yet to hear one lawyer come on national radio or go to the press and condemn my me echoing these sentiments. I'm challenging any lawyer in the Bahamas to challenge me.
Mm.
But they have yet to do it. They're just sitting there quietly and doing what they ought to do. But we're going to have a leader who's going to rise up, you know.
Yeah.
And they're going to do exactly what the Dominican Republic did, the leader did in the Dominican Republic.
Wow.
He went back as far as 1929 and he revoked everything.
Yeah.
But we're not suggesting
to do that.
That we are xenophobic or we don't like our neighbors from the south, etc. But then we have to... The Bahamas was made.
You have to protect it.
You know?
You have to protect
it. Right now, we have bed shortages. We have classroom space shortages.
Mm-hmm.
We have all sorts of things. But it's unfair for the government of the Bahamas to engage in this activity to the disadvantage of Bahamians.
Yeah.
These people are living in shantytown areas. They are saving 90% of their salaries while Bahamians have to spend 90% of theirs or more.
Yeah.
Have the advantage. Why place a foreigner at a big advantage over a Bahamian? And you're saying, and you need us to vote. But you see what they're doing now? They're creating this new, they're not only disrespecting the Constitution by doing this nonsense what they're doing, but they're also creating this voting bloc. And I don't know why the leader of the opposition don't challenge it. Right now, we could tumble this election right up if someone were to challenge the activities, those citizenships that have been granted, you know.
Mm.
These people are not supposed to be voting in our elections. Why would politicians do this?
Mm.
Allow people to activity. If a foreigner comes to the Bahamas, exactly what issues are they voting on? They're voting for more speed bumps, more bed space. They can't even tell you why they are voting. This activity is supposed to be exclusive for.
Thank you. He made some good comments. We're going to take these next calls. We have two more calls. Calls, I'm going to let y'all get your piece. Then I'm going to go to the next segment of the show. I'm going to talk about this crime part real quick. So I know you guys were waiting on the phone line a little while. So I want to give y'all an opportunity to speak your piece. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City. They left. Carla, you're there?
Hello.
Hello, good night.
Hello, Scoogey.
Hey, good night, good night.
How you do?
I'm fine, good night.
Yeah, you got that sewer thing fixed to Lewis Street?
Yes. We getting our road paving all. We getting our road paving all right now.
Okay, they have to do proper treatment, environmental health of the property.
Yeah.
In the area, not just fix the broken sewer line now. Okay, do you know Red, the mechanic?
Yeah, to the Bach Road.
In the back of the Baker Boys, them on the road that comes out the street.
Yeah.
Opposite Mason's Position Corner. Yeah. His mother and my mother, them was cousins from San Salvador. Okay? Now, that was Cleaver Duncombe who was talking just now about the Immigration and Nationality Act, right?
Yeah.
Previous caller. Well, anyway, we have to understand that when we say the politician, and when you have a prime minister who happened to be a lawyer and carries the title of King's Counsel, who's saying we don't have an immigration problem, he got to be disillusional. The thing is, I support the previous caller in every which way, and to add to what he has to say, the Nationality Act has been carried out by the present government. They are really on the spot. They're put on the spot with Scoogey.
Yes,
because right now, the issue coming before the Bahamian people, none of them should have the right to vote, because what happened in the Rooney case and what Chief Justice Ian Winder said, with there being a lacuna,
yeah.
ain't no minister has no power over what the Constitution says.
Yes.
That is settled law. The fact of what they're carrying on now, the Director of Immigration should not accept any application in regards to the Nationality Act for anybody who doesn't meet the requirement, what they're doing, and what has happened since 1973. The custom and the carrying out
is
an ultra-virus act. It's beyond the legal power. They are flouting and subverting our statute law. And every Bahamian, be it PLP, FNM, COI, or whatever, needs to understand the people should not be allowed to vote. And every application that's being met and being applied for,
the
caller gone back to the Dominican Republic and what they did in 1929.
Yeah.
The same thing has to happen here in the Bahamas back in 1973. It ain't have nothing to do with being xenophobic about the people from the island of Hispaniola, most of them being Haitians, and some of them may be Dominican. But our Constitution deals with foreigners, and we have even some of them who have fake papers that may be from Europe, Russia, and all the rest of that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they trying to get around and create this dynamic voting block for votes, everything needs to be challenged.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, and back with the issue with the school thing and training the students. I can remember back in the seventh grade when people like me and 52, Mazur and Michael Pintard, them, had to do woodwork and plastic work, and Mr. Steele and Mr. Shark, Lady Class. I learned to do sewing. I hemmed every pants I had from seventh grade until I finished high school. So these things in the school and the agricultural program ought to have been in place. Where have we fallen down?
Yes.
So we need to say, we're not waiting until these children get out of school.
Reinvented.
And they're having these gang issues in school should not be tolerated. Everybody, the police, ought to be involved in the school, and all the guidance counselors need to take over, and the children should be able to report anyone that threatens them.
Yes.
Because these are our children. This is our country, Scoogey.
Yes, sir.
We have children, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's my contribution
for the night. You did well, man. All the callers, one thing I can say for the callers, they do well. And that's why I have this broadcast for you guys to come express yourself based on the topics we have. And you guys just be right on cue. You know, I appreciate you guys because you know make my job a little easier. Because, you know, I only start the conversation, then you guys can finish the conversation. And you guys come up with so much great solutions to the country's problem. And y'all can see exactly what's wrong with the country and what needs to be done in the country. So thumbs up to you guys. I know the politicians, they be sitting down and be shaking their heads because you guys got them. All is not lost in the country, you know. But like I said, we have to protect the Bahamas. For those who come into the country illegally, honestly speaking, we can't handle it no more. We already take so much amount of citizens from our brothers and sisters from the West, and we just can't do it no more because the future is at stake for the 5,000 plus students coming to school, for the students who've been to school before that, for those who are unemployed now in the country. Listen, people, we just can't. I'm hoping that our defense force, they're deploying now, taking advice. You know, I've always been saying this. You know, we have a defense force that is doing an extremely great job, but they could do a job 10 times more better. It's no sense having a base here in National Providence when we have an illegal migration problem. What we need to do is establish bases on key structural points on some of the family islands where we could deploy those $200 million ships that we purchase, and smaller ships, put them in a strategic position. We build bases where when we detain illegal immigrants coming in the country, we would save gas, we would save time, we would have a magistrate in place to process and evaluate, make sure that we treat them humanly, make sure they have the basic health care. Once the judge does his due procedure as far as prosecution, we can put them on a ship and ship them back, or we can have a air base set up on one of these bases that needs to be established, because our Defense Force officers needs to be trained. You know, if we can deploy them 50 this way, 50 this way, or 101 this way on different strategic bases around National Providence, and they could get to a particular point. I was on Mr. Thompson's show, and Mr. Cartwright, he was given a suggestion of the deputizing fishermen who would be able to see, so that if they could identify sloops or Dominican Republicans fishing illegally in the Bahamian waters, they could report the matter to particular authorities and just observe from a certain point until the proper authorities arise. And these are things we're going to have to do to strategize, but we need to make bases where we can deploy Defense Force officers, and that'd be their station. They could be deployed anywhere year-round, but they just could come back to Nassau because they'd be in rotation. You know, and that's what you need to do, you know, because it's military. So we got to think military. We got to put Defense Force officers and build bases, strategic bases around Nassau Providence. Okay, and take the pressure off the base here in Nassau and the Providence. It saves fuel. And guess what? The officers are going to experience being leaders, you know, communicating with other bases, you know, around the country, working together, coordinating together, you know. It saves a lot of time, and the time response will be on point. You know, and if they themselves run into technical problems on the ocean, then they can easily call the next port of entry or the next base that would be probably 50 or 100 miles away. You know, instead of being to Nassau, which would be like 2,000, 3,000 miles away. You know, I'm just saying, you understand? It makes no sense. So we need to create more bases with proper holding stations, with proper toilets, water, you know, TV, and et cetera, and you have a little nurse or a doctor there who would probably be a nurse or doctor from the Defense Force who's properly trained in that field, and they would be there to deal with the illegal immigrants or anyone detained by the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, you know, and then the judge would be there as well. Okay, we're going to play the next clip.
Prime Minister Philip Davis decried the country's crime problem as he joined other government officials and Fox Hill residents on Fox Hill Day. As he addressed the congregation at St. Paul's Baptist Church, Davis said crime briefings are a painful part of his job.
But today, my friends, we face a new fight for the soul of our country. Every week, I have to face one of the most painful parts of my job. In my briefings with the Commissioner of Police, I see the reports, I hear the names, and I look at the faces of our young men who have been killed. And very often, too soon they have passed this way. Most of them are under the age of 18.
His comments come days after two young men, ages 18 and 20, were killed during a mass shooting in Ridgeland Park on Saturday. Five others were injured during that incident. Police have since arrested two suspects and recovered the getaway vehicle.
This past week has been far too bloody. Every life loss breaks a family's heart. Every shooting leaves another wound on the soul of our nation. We have given the police every resource they have asked for. More officers, more vehicles, better tools, better technology. What they need most cannot be bought. They need a community that will stand with them. They need people who will not look the other way. They need citizens who will speak up when they see trouble.
Davis says too many young men are dying at the hands of other young men.
We must emancipate ourselves, as we did a century and a half ago, from this cycle of violence and free our communities from its grip. I often wonder how many of them are themselves living with loss, how many have buried a friend or had to carry grown-up burdens when they were still just boys. That pain is not dealt with if it's not dealt with. Turns into anger for those young men. And that anger turns into revenge. And that's how the cycle keeps going, unless we choose to break it, unless we choose to emancipate ourselves from that cycle.
He urged members of the community not to allow party colors to divide them, adding, they must stand together to save young men in the country.
Yes, an election season is coming. Yes, we will have our debates and our disagreements, and we will wear our party colors. But we must reject the politics that tells us we have to hate each other because of who we support. Do not let anyone convince you that if you're a PLP, you cannot speak to an FNM. Or if you're an FNM, you cannot speak or sit with a PLP. And that goes for the COI as well, vice versa. You know, I've seen us kneel side by side at the altar, share the same communion cup, sing the same hymns, and then walk out of the door to church and act like strangers just because of politics. That is not who we are.
Reporting for the Guardian News Network, I'm Vonnie Tude.
You know, the Prime Minister gave a great speech, you know, and he knocked on many points of view. He talked about do not be divided by politics. He's talking especially towards the incident where two young men lost their life, and I think four others were shot. We're up in arms about that. I mean, like I said, I give my condolences to the family who lost their loved ones and to those who also got injured. You know, my heart goes out to them. You know, we're up in arms. Because it's two lives lost, because it was recorded on camera and it was blazing. To my knowledge, that has been happening in this country for going on over 25 years. Blazing shooting of my time. I ain't seen nothing change. It might be more volume because the country's expanded. Most of these constituencies were not around. You know, Pinewood Garden was just getting built. Yellow Ella was just getting built. These places were just getting built. And there are many different subdivisions that came along. And the population grew. And the mindset of these individuals, they move out in these inner city communities and, you know, without the proper training and the proper mindset. And with the condition of the unemployment levels in the country, you know, it's chaotic, especially with illegal immigrants. Illegal immigrants are coming in the country, getting the majority of jobs that could or would have been available to kids coming out of school or raw-born Bahamians or even Haitian Bahamians who are here today who are looking for work themselves cannot find it. So we're in a very serious position. The Prime Minister is talking about cycle of violence. You know, we saw Simon Mushi McKenzie got killed. He was shot about 15 times. He was a notorious gangster. So when people said that he got killed, that they thought crime was going to stop, crime increased because he was only one small part of the problem. You know, there were many Samuel Mushi McKenzie all over Nassau. They might not get the same name, but the guys, them, were rough and tough just like him, pulling the trigger just like him. He just was the most famous ones, but there were many, many of him around Nassau, New Providence. And you imagine the problem he caused, how many lives he was responsible for, right? And he life can't take, all right? So that's the cycle of violence with the Prime Minister talking about there. Then we had the next leader, one of my arch rivals when I was younger. Now we good. He is in prison serving a serious, lengthy sentence. Time could be short. Stephen Dye Stubbs. He was involved in a lot of illegal activities in the country, but it was a result of certain opportunities not provided, you know, what resulted in these both of these young men taking a life of crime. You know, most people would say, you know, this is not taken up. I'm just telling you all the reality. He is in prison. And people thought that when he go to the prison, that crime is going to stop. Crime doubled. When the two big boys, one, Simon Mushi McKenzie got killed. Stephen Dye Stubbs went to prison, right? Okay. Top boss, Ian Ari. He got killed. People thought crime would stop, and he got killed. Like I say, all these guys has contributed in some way because lack of opportunity, and they take it to extend where they themselves became hardened criminals. Okay? Some lost their lives. Some in prison. Okay? And the system is the one that caused the problems in the first place. As a result of neglect, many teenagers and kids growing up back in the day came with a drug era, and it was a mental health issue that was supposed to be treated like a mental health issue. That is what the World Health Organization is saying. That's what the Bahamas Bahamas Health Department is saying over here, saying today that we have a lot of mental health mentally ill people in the country, and that's what we had back in the day, because a lot of those kids, like myself, who were born, no excuse, were actually drug baby because our parents were on drugs. And the government itself had no solution for us as teenagers who went in a life of violence. And what they did is they keep on persecuting us. And then with the lack of resources, many more became a part of this unnatural behavior of violence and gang, selling drugs and be acting in a vulgar behavior. The females, teenage pregnancy, remember all this? Alcohol Anonymous, remember all these things, people? Remember teenage pregnancy when we had so many teenagers getting pregnant, and they were getting pregnant from older men and younger boys. And we had a problem with teenage pregnancy. We had produced so many young teenagers in the country. So we have young mothers who are the age of 16 pregnant. So time is they 25. How old is their daughter? 10. So time is they're 30. Their daughter is 15, or their sons are 15. And if they're not properly trained their daughters and sons on how to be a productive citizen, and if they're a parent who was single with sons and daughters, what do you think is going to happen in the country? Okay? So it takes a community. It takes aggressive approach to put a program in place that does not stop whatever government comes to power. It has to cover small business. It has to cover trades. It has to cover cleaning up the community, it has to cover, excuse me, it has to cover about 5 or 6 mechanisms that we have to establish to get rid of violence. It's going to take us at least 20 to 25 years, and we're not going to get rid of violence, but we could slow it down tremendously in this country. I think if we put our effort into solving the problem by putting all the programs that are in place, but be consistent with these programs by giving people an opportunity in their respective community, by building up the community, I think we'd see a change by creating more small business owners and more employment in the tourism sector, in the junk canoe sector, and then more creative in the trade with plumbing, electrical, and et cetera, et cetera. And we start to change the mindset of the females and teenagers, females and males in our country, and the teenagers in our country. We'd see a dramatic change. But we have to have major investment in the community. One of those suggestions is Keith Bell, the Minister of Housing, is looking to purchase 100 abandoned lots in the community. They're not going to take the property. They're going to make an offer to whoever wants the property if they want to sell. Other than that, they're going to turn them low-cost homes and might turn into something constructive in the community, and that's what we need, you know. But the murders that happen in the country are just from different poison, but same intentions, and it's just a cycle. And we have to break the cycle by understanding it starts with poverty, it starts with, I don't call it religion, but it's called a religion, Christianity, but we have to show what real Christianity is. And real Christianity is showing love, showing compassion, showing consideration, showing understanding, and also helping to change the directory of what our country is going in. You know, I hear our prime ministers, I hear our opposition leaders, but we're going to have to be committed to say we're going to invest certain money into dealing with the criminal aspect in our country. We understand it, and we're going to have to empower. We're going to have to go in these communities, clean up these communities, utilize and build community centers, bring BOMZ in there, bring BTVI in there. We're going to use the school like for after, like Saturday. We have special training classes, and if government or private sector could give the kids a little sniping to boost them to come on a Saturday, but also to boost them to come to the training classes, the training classes from Monday to Friday, that would be rewarded in the school. I think we'd see a dramatic change. And then we go on the agriculture field, where we could start to feed ourselves by teaching the kids also about agriculture, because this is a part of it too, this is a part of the mechanism. So we're going to take this one call before we go. Go ahead, caller, just a few minutes.
Hey, excuse me.
Hey, go ahead, caller.
I'm calling back, because you know you got to meet these young people where they are.
Who that is?
The proliferation, all these murders and all that kind of stuff and gangster talk that they have, right? I want you. I want to know if you could do me a favor before the time run out.
The time is completely gone.
And let the song play, Never Give Up by Red Dragon. The producer know the song, the reggae song, which advise young people to look into themselves and the skill that God will see you through.
Yes.
Okay, the language and the lyrics in the song. Could you just play that song going out there?
Okay. Thank you. Are we completely out of time? We can take one more call. We can take this last call if you could get in a minute or two real quick. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good evening, George. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. I'm just tuning in, but wanted to just express, you know, Scrooge, things have changed from our time to the youths of this era.
Yes.
Right? In our time, Scrooge, as you know, we weren't afraid to have a fist fight, right? And you know, to beat one another, but at the end of the day, you have a fist fight, you prove who's the baddest, or who's the roughest, and you go home, right? And then we move from the fist fight to throwing rock and bottle, right? And then taking a dagger, right?
Yep.
And then we began slowly and surely to elevate to
guns.
Ammunition,
yep.
Right?
That's how it went.
And then only certain fellas
hot guns
had access to ammunition,
yes.
And some of the fellas in the over-the-hill community, you know, Jackson, Mushe, one or two other fellas, yourself, Tamiko, that's your cousin, who I was in school with. these fellas had bags of guns, right?
Yes, sir.
And yes, I had no one or two guns. No. Right? They had bags of guns, but still, even at that level, it was just a few people around the town who had guns and who were known to be shooters.
And we would give it out.
Today, today,
all type.
Today, the fellas only know how to pick up the gun.
That's all.
It's like the fellas today, they hide behind the gun. And the gun's so big, what they hiding behind.
They can't control it.
Bullets don't respect nobody.
They can't control
it. And at the end of the day, the proliferation of single-parent homes with people who don't value life and value respect for authority and stuff like that. Because, look, single-parent homes are new to the country, right? They are new screws to the country. Many of us grew up in single-parent homes in our era and era before us.
Yes.
And era before them, right? But there was a value for life, and there was a value for respect of others, etc. And even in warring with people,
there
was still a value placed on respect and tradition. Today, man, everything just out the window. So if we can see change, Scrooge, the government, along the private sector, along with the community, is going to have to go into these homes, literally.
Door to door.
Pull these people out.
Yes.
Pull them out.
Yep.
We can't just create the programs, because if we create the programs, it'll almost come to, you can take the horse to the well, but you can't make it drink.
You got to take it to the people.
We got
to
make them drink the water.
Yep.
We can't just leave it at developing the programs.
Yeah.
Because if we don't, and I continue to say this, I'll end right here, if we don't scrooge, 10, 15, 20 years from now, we'll be having this
same conversation.
When people like us, who recognize what it is through experience and through coming out of it, they've given a solution to
it. Yes.
That's up. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Anton. Thank you, Anton. And he is correct. We're going to have to take it to people. You understand? We're going to take BOMC to the people. We're going to have to take BTVI to the people. We're going to take small business to the people. Hey, that's how we're going to have to take it to the people in order for us to make a change. The church is going to have to go door to door now. The church on the pulpit is no more. You have to go door to door right now. Social service is going to have to go door to door. Community policing is going to have to go door to door. All right? The parks on in each of these communities are going to have to be utilized. After school, till about 6 o'clock. So we need a lot of instructors. We need a lot of PE teachers. We need a lot of community leaders. This is the step that we're going to have to take if we want to change the mindset of the kids, teenagers, and the mindset of the Bahamian citizen at large. Because it's going to take us 20 years to get our bearings back again. I want to give a shout out to my good friend, Elroy Bryce, and to all the listeners and to all the callers. You did a wonderful job. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City. I hope you enjoyed the show. And I'll see you next week if God spare life on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Give a shout out to my producer, Chris, and the whole Guardian staff, to all of the rest of the talk shows. Y'all enjoy the weekend.
I'm a son of that boy. What happened? Straight to the man's dad, right? From there, dad. What are you doing to me, man? All out. Again?
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, Bigger Bay, and Bro. Boy, I from Bay, and Bro.